Hi, this is Paula Morrell, and welcome to the Tales from the South podcast.
Where to survive? Where to live? It's a way to survive.
How's everybody doing tonight? So how about tonight's music by the Salty Dogs? Y'all like the Salty Dogs? From Little Rock, Arkansas, the Salty Dogs' feel-good country music has been featured on TLC's hit show, Trading Spaces, and on the new Sundance Channel hit, Rectify. They have CDs for sale after the show, and more can be heard at thesaltydogs.net. All right, well, welcome to Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, and to a very special edition of Tales from the South, a monthly series we call the Tin Roof Project, where well-known Southerners bring their own true stories to life. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, all right here in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm your host, Paula Martin Morrell. On my right here, strumming his 1931 national resonator, is blues guitarist Mark Simpson. Mark can be heard on blues legend John Weston CDs, Blues at Daybreak, and Got to Deal with the Blues. Mark wrote our theme music and plays for us live each week. And how about our set back here? Y'all like our set? Each week and each show, we feature an artist. And so tonight, our featured artist is Little Rock artist Carla McGoldrick. And our featured piece is this piece behind me to the right. This piece here, which is entitled Whisper, which is for sale. Our listeners can find out more about this piece and Carla at our website, talesfromthesouth.com. All right, are y'all ready for some Southern-style storytelling? Lela Davidson is an award-winning author and essayist, blacklisted from the PTA 2011, and Who Peed on My Yoga Mat, 2012, a freelance journalist and commentator for NBC News, Today Moms, and a regular contributor to iVillage and Huffington Post. Lela entertains and inspires audiences in print, web, video, and television, and speaks on motherhood, marriage, media, marketing, and the challenges of being over 40 in a Botox world. Lela wrote Sexy, Smart, and Search Engine Friendly, Get Found Online Without Losing Your Mind or Wasting Your Time, especially for authors, artists, and small business entrepreneurs. Lela's humorous, inspirational essays are featured in family and parenting magazines throughout North America and in Chicken Soup for the Soul, New Moms, and her book, Marketing Advice, has been featured in Writer's Digest. She is also an owner and founder of Peekaboo Media, a women's media and marketing agency serving Fortune 500 companies that seek to connect with women consumers. She lives with her family in Rogers, Arkansas. Tonight, Lela takes us on a trip in more ways than one in Stripper 101. Ladies and gentlemen, Lela Davidson.
I expect we'll go home with bruises, but I keep this to myself as we make our way between the giant fishnet fiberglass legs straddling the entrance to the Stripper 101 class. Why? This is Vegas, baby, not the carpool line. The four of us upstanding women crave as much attention, novelty, and adventure as we can get, without cheating on our husbands, of course. Besides, stripping is good exercise. This is why we have donned gym clothes and tennis shoes and carried red patent stilettos through lobbies and shopping malls to a dark corner of the Planet Hollywood Hotel. The $40 ticket price includes a drink, which we are encouraged to order before class. However, because we are still recovering from last night's bottle service, we delay the drinking and focus our energy on coming up with stripper names, as instructed by the girl who swiped our credit cards. Text messages fly as we attempt to include the men back home in our faux debauchery. Between us, we come up with Cherry Pop, Roxy Cox, Misty Storm, Stormy Rains, Candy, Brandy, Peaches, and, because I am traveling with Southerners, Dixie the Rack. I settle on Stretch Mark. While we wait, a girl with a camera leads groups of women to a smudged brass pole mounted on a platform in the corner. It's not dirty. It has that patina you look for in a fine antique. The women make fish lips, lift their chests, and touch each other in front of leopard print wallpaper. When it's our turn, I end up kneeling, working hard to avoid panty reveal while I grasp the pole. And no antibacterial wipes in sight. After the pictures, we are escorted into the club, past the wall of t-shirts with cartoon women in tiny aprons dancing with mops and the slogan, "Grab life by the pole," because every woman must not only have sex appeal, but also the ability to produce a killer chicken pot pie and gleaming hardwoods. Be still my beating Stepford heart. We continue past the gift shop and the bathrooms, past the theater, and past the stage where I had imagined we would learn to undulate and titillate. We are shown into a room at the end of the hall with a dozen stripper poles, stacks of chairs, and on two walls, floor-to-ceiling mirrors. Unlike the light-absorbing chalky black of the rest of the club, this room is painted in warm tones, which take the edge off my daytime in Vegas look. Basically, eye cream and a shade of lipstick intended to draw attention away from my less than glowing everything else. Let the shaking of the assets begin. Our teacher is extremely tall, extremely thin, and extremely pale. She tells us we are all beautiful, sexy women, and refers to herself as a retired stripper, as if the gig includes a 401k and supplemental Medicare. She perfectly delivers the line, "My teenagers have no idea that mom used to do for a living." Really? My friends and I share a look. Despite its big personality, Las Vegas seems like a small town where word gets around if you teach suburbanites and bachelorettes how to dance on a lap. Her name is Kendra with an I, not to be confused with Playboy playmate Kendra with an E, who lends her celebrity endorsement to the class and the line of personal stripper poles sold next to the t-shirts. "Who has been to a strip club?" Kendra asks. Everyone raises a hand except for two of us, an overweight black woman in a nylon tracksuit and me. My friends are visibly surprised, as I am. "Really? I've never been to a strip club?" I scroll through my mind, searching for a single memory of the sticky, glittery, heroin-laced idea I've gathered from TV and films, and nothing. Does Hooters count? My friends scoot a centimeter away from me while Kendra explains that because pole dancing does not pay as well as lap dancing, most girls in Vegas don't bother to master the advanced moves, which are quite athletic. There's even a petition to include pole dancing in the 2016 Olympics. Didn't know that, did you? I think of my daughter. "Mom, coach says we need the check for my pole dancing costume by Friday." After a quick warm-up and more reassurance about our inherent power and sex appeal, we learn the basics. The walk, the hip roll, the booty grind, and the general shaking of the jiggly bits. Peppered throughout the dance instruction are tips about the business of stripping. "Ladies, you must remember you are the sexiest one in the club." All that female empowerment wasn't only meant to release our inner diva. Kinder instructed us to imagine that the curve of our breasts and the turn of our thighs was better than the girl at the next pole. Relative superiority is how we will make our quotas, and the only way to make real money in Vegas. I briefly wonder which one of the four of us would earn enough to cover her pasties. It occurs to me that Stripper 101 might be less about equipping novice bachelorettes and housewives with enticing moves and more about recruiting them into the business. It also occurs to me that this is exactly what might occur to a 40-year-old mother of two who has never actually been to a strip club. We are rapt as Kendra shares insider information. When a stripper pulls on her panties, she's asking for money. Who knew? I did not know that. At this point, Kendra excuses herself abruptly, returns a few minutes later, and apologizes. She is sick, she tells us, and not the flu kind of sick. Vomiting is never sexy, Kendra declares, and then mumbles something that sounds a lot like morning sickness. Did she say no? No, we must have heard wrong, right? Surely not, with the protruding bones and the nearly transparent skin and the wrapping of her body around a pole, we must have misheard. Under Kendra's tutelage, we practice a simple routine with a chair. The most valuable thing I learn is to distract a man by rubbing my breasts with an open hand. Why haven't I learned this before? I mean, my mind races with practical applications. Difficult interview questions, salary negotiations, and just about anything at a car dealership. Finally, we get to what we've come for, the pole. I get into position. I am ready for this. I'm in shape. I am sexy. I'm fearless. However, Kendra's instruction has done little to break the spinning process into manageable components. I fear not bruises, but broken bones. I want to spin like a porn-soaked firefighter. I really, really do. But I realize that navigating the pole in a graceful manner might take years of practice. Years that will propel me further and further from the pinnacle of sex appeal with every cumulative spin. I watch my friends in the mirror. All of them have been better endowed with natural assets, but all are just as awkward as I am. Thank God we have spreadsheet skills and fully funded 401ks. After a few minutes of frustrating practice, Kendra announces there has been a request to see some advanced moves, some pole work. Suddenly, she is all leg, spinning, twisting, flipping. She does this finale in which she is secured only by her biceps and hovers and undulates parallel to the pole before finishing in a spectacular inverted spin. If that Olympic thing comes through, she's a contender. Class is dismissed. Time to get our official stripper licenses. We are supposed to tell Kendra our stripper names so she can write them on our cards. I didn't want to say it, my friend told me later. I mean, it seems kind of rude, you know, like that's what she does. My friend said it anyway. We all did. Right after depositing fives and tens in Kendra's wicker tip basket. Relative superiority intact, we exit through the gift shop. Over the past 2 days, we have become accustomed to VIP status, but there are no young men employed specifically to whisk us past the other lesser women in line for souvenirs. Though the t-shirts are cute, I can't imagine wearing one to the grocery store or during an annual performance review. The at-home stripper poles, even with free shipping, seem impractical. We wait, watching the next group of women posing and drinking, and listening to Kendra's theatrical retching from the bathroom. Vomiting is never sexy, but it might be profitable. Surely she's making a commission off the poles and spinning housewife shot glasses. As we leave the club, moving on to the shopping portion of our weekend, I sip a strawberry margarita from a plastic cup. I feel the bruises developing on my shins. What happens in Vegas will stay in Vegas, except for a cheesy picture and a trifold keeper that I won't show my daughter. And those stripper names, which are programmed into my phone. Carpool will never be the same. Thank you.
So thank you so much, Lila Davidson, for being on the Tin Roof Project here at Taylor Swift South. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I get the feeling that there's a story behind your story tonight. Is there?
There are a lot of stories behind the story. My husband's here, so I can't tell them all. It's Vegas. No, that story actually appears in my first book, Blacklisted from the PTA, in a different format, because my editor thought that the fact that our stripper instructor was pregnant and my commentary on such was a little too cynical for the tone of my typical fare, which is very parenting magazine friendly. So we didn't include that in the collection. So, yeah.
Interesting. And so is this the first time you've read it?
It is the first time I've read it out
loud. Did a good job. What'd y'all think?
Thank you.
In your first line, you say, "I expect we will go home with bruises." So did you?
Yeah, it's more like brass burns when you're... You know, we had been planning this girls' trip, and, you know, I'm just a regular mom on the cul-de-sac and hadn't had a lot of time to spend, you know, go on trips with my girlfriends. So this was kind of the first time out, and we went to Vegas, which was a little bit much probably for a first time out. But I had heard about this stripper 101 class, and so, you know, we were all in, and we actually went to go see the Playboy show. Who's that girl, the Bo Peep girl, the Hugh Hefner girl? We went to go see her.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we went to go see her the night before. Holly Madison. Mm-hmm. So we critiqued her physique from the front row. And then we went and found out how hard it really was to do those things in real life.
So have you had a chance to practice your moves since you got back from Vegas?
You know, there's another story in my second book. My husband and I were celebrating our 17th anniversary. He's right over there, Mr. John Davidson. And... So, you know, it was kind of an expensive summer. There were some camps and some, you know, vacations or whatever. So we decided, I think I decided probably, that we needed to be on a budget. So I thought it would be cute if we had a $17 budget. And it's really hard to find something for $17. So I think he bought me a bottle of wine and I gave him 17 ones and said... Horrible. It was horrible. I was playing, I had my phone, I thought I was really slick, but I'm kind of cheap, so I don't have like the paid for version of anything, so I'm listening to like Pandora, so I'm in the middle of trying to do some moves, and it's like the Easy Button commercial comes on from Staples. Very sexy.
So after passing on the t-shirts and stripper poles for sale in the gift shop, the stripper names are the only thing that you came home with. And they're on your phones, right?
Kinda, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So are there any stories that you can share with us about having those names on your phone?
Well, the funny thing is that I went... That story took place with some of my very best friends. But in writing it, I was very careful of what I wanted to share. I mean, I think you don't really hear from my friends in the story. There's a lot more going on interpersonally between us, but that's one of those things where you want to protect your friends' privacy, because I do write a lot about my kids and my husband, but I think I write about them in a way that is sort of a very public way, and there's that line that the public doesn't know what my line is, but I know what it is.
Sure.
And with my friends, I think I'm less certain of what their line is, so I'm more careful when I write about them in stories. So I struggled really with that story on how much of our interaction to include, and so I ultimately decided not to. So I can't tell you the secret stuff on my phone. It's what I, long story short.
It was a nice try.
The text messages are riveting.
Well, we have a few minutes here at the end for audience questions.
Have you and the Polecats ever had any other vacations?
Wait, the Polecats, they are going to appreciate that. You know, I think we're planning a Vegas reunion. Yeah. Yeah. We had to stay close to home for a while after that. There were some legal implications.
I'm almost most curious about how your husband reacts to all of this.
He's a very good sport. He might be able to answer better than I can, but... you know, my children, I started out writing my humor essays when my children were young, and I could get away with quite a bit. When my son was in the seventh grade, he came home, and our local parenting magazine, I've written a column in there for years, and she had run a picture, for some reason, an old picture of he and I together when he looked much younger. And I didn't realize, but I had included the line, you know, my son is not quite yet a man or something like that. I didn't say he was a baby. I just said he wasn't a man yet. I mean, he was in seventh grade. So the girls from school brought that magazine in with him, with that line, with the picture when he was young. And he said, that's it. So I have to get permission from my children. So I'm telling you all this because he has to stay with me. Like, we took vows, you know, the kids are just there. But he a little bit more of my material has shifted on our marriage now because I think I know the lines that I can scoot right up to the line with him. He's a very good sport.
Your titles are certainly very inspirational. Is there a story behind Who Peed on My Yoga Mat and Blacklisted from the PTA that you can share?
Well, I can share with you that they're available on Amazon, iTunes. That's called marketing. Those are teaser titles. Of course there's a story. They're great stories. You have to read them. I did get blacklisted from the PTA, and in the first book, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, like how to get blacklisted from the PTA because you really don't want to volunteer. But the truth is that I was a bit of a pariah on my cul-de-sac, and I tell that story in the second book, and it was not very pretty. I had to grow as a writer to find more humor in that, and my editor had to let me be a little more cynical. And someone did pee on my yoga mat, and I'm not going to tell you who, because Amazon.com.
So how about our story and storyteller tonight? Thank you so much, Lila Davidson, for being on our Tin Roof Project here on Tales from the South. More can be found out about Lila at her website, leladavidson.com. Thank you to our live audience, and thank you to UALR Public Radio. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and our official media sponsor is AY Magazine, Arkansas's leading lifestyle publication at aymag.com. Tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, with additional support provided by the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau, the Writers Colony at Derry Hollow, and the Oxford American, the Southern Magazine of Good Writing. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Smart Radio, and you can download and listen to our podcast on our website. More can be found at talesfromthesouth.com. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, for another edition of Tales from the South. Good night, everybody.
Telephone number, then you changed your last name, and you left me sad and lonely, stripped of everything but time, feeling so doggone lonesome, drinking water, you turned to wine. time. All this time for drinking this water you turned to wine.
Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing, with additional support provided by AY Magazine, William F. Lehman Public Library, the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau, the Writers Colony at Derry Hollow, and the Oxford American Magazine. Writer accommodations provided by Robinwood Bed and Breakfast. More at robinwoodbnb.com. Studio assistance provided by Infrared Studio Productions. Our graphics are by Robin Steves at Studio B. Our musician is Mark Simpson. Our stage art is by V.L. Cox. Our production engineer is Jay Jones. And our executive producer and host is Paula Morrell. Experience Tales in person as a member of our live audience. Schedule and ticket information can be found at our website, talesfromthesouth.com. Thanks for helping keep the art of Southern style storytelling alive. And we'll see you next week, either on this station or at Starving Artist Cafe, for another edition of Tales from the South.